Now we continue on in chapter 4 here, and as we move into chapter 4, we see that Solomon now brings the kingdom to its zenith. The thing that marked his kingdom was peace and prosperity. And isn't that interesting? That's what we'd like to have, is it not? And Solomon, I think we could call him a prince of peace, while David was a man of war. But the peace that Solomon enjoyed and those in his kingdom was made by David, the man of war. We today like to feel that God just forgives sin because of the fact he's sentimental and that type of thing. God does not forgive sin on that low plane at all. There's a battle been fought, friends, and there's been a great sacrifice, and blood has been shed that you and I might have forgiveness of sins today. He made peace again by the blood of his cross, and it's through that that you and I today can enter into this peace. Now we're told in chapter 4, verse 1, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. And then we have a list of his princes that are mentioned here, and some of them apparently were sons of the sons of David, which would mean it'd be the nephew of Solomon. And I'll not go into that other than in verse 5, and Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers, and he was the king's friend. Apparently, this was a son of David, or else a son of Nathan the prophet. We do know David had a son named after Nathan the prophet. Now, we have here also Solomon, verse 7, had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household. Each man, his month and a year, made provision. Now, this was Solomon's method of taxation. And 12 of them would mean that there was one for each tribe. Now I drop down to verse 20. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. Now this was a time of great prosperity. The wars were over. It was a time of peace. And we're told, verse 21, and Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now, this was a great time, and you notice that there was plenty. It was prosperity, there was plenty, there was peace. This was a great time, and this, my friend, is just a little adumbration, a little preview of the kingdom that is coming on this earth, millennial kingdom. This is just a brief period and very brief indeed. Now in verse 25, will you note this? And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Now there's several things here that I think are quite wonderful, and we need to note them. It was a time of security and safety, that which we do not have in this world today. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But peace is coming on the earth when the Prince of Peace comes. And in that day, in this day of Solomon, every man dwelt under his own vine and his fig tree. Does that tell you anything? Over against poor or labor, each man, and one's not living in a castle and the other in a hovel. Each man has his vine and his fig tree. He has his own possession. And it was from Dan to Beersheba all the days of Solomon. Now, we come to one little spot here, and I must call attention to it. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Now, the horse was the animal of war, and God had forbidden, if you go back to Deuteronomy 17:16, you'll find out God gave a specific law that a king was not to multiply horses and he was not to multiply wives. Solomon did both. When I was at Megiddo, that is, the little mound that overlooks the valley there, where we believe that the great issue will be finally settled in the last days. We call it the battle, but it's actually the war of Armageddon in that great valley of Esdraelon. And this place of Megiddo overlooks it. Tremendous view, by the way. But the thing that impressed me were the ruins there of the stalls of Solomon. There are the troughs where the horses ate. All of that is there. Those ruins are all up and down that land. Solomon certainly multiplied horses, contrary to the wisdom of God. Now we're told here something of the wisdom of Solomon. Verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, largeness of heart, even as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. By the way, that's where the wise men came from the east, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than certain wise men are mentioned. And here four wise men are mentioned that were outstanding. Now we're told he spoke 3,000 proverbs. We only have just a few hundred. And his songs were 1,005. Believe me, he was a songwriter, and we have only one song that is mentioned. And he spoke of trees. He was a dendrologist. From the cedar tree that's in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. That's a little humble thing that grows on rocks. He spake also of beasts. He was zoologist. And of fowls, and of creeping things. Well, he was a bugologist and of fishes. He was an authority in these particular realms. This apparently the beginning of the sciences. This man Solomon was interested in those things. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Now he gained a worldwide reputation for his wisdom, and they came to hear it. Now we have very few of the Proverbs that he wrote, but it's in the book of Proverbs. And as we've said before, these are extremely helpful to any young man entering life. Certain great principles are put down there that should guide a man in life, guide him in his business. You see, God is very practical with us, and this gets right down to the nitty-gritty, where you and I walk in and out of the marts of trade, where you and I go into the bazaars of today, where you and I enter into the courts of the land, and into social gatherings. There are certain great principles that are put down there that would guide the young man today. I'm not trying to say he'd be living the Christian life, but he sure would have marvelous guidelines given to him there. We'll have an occasion, of course, to see that later.